You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Session from the ministry and the beneficiary doesn't agree with us, then they have 3 months to apply for a review of the decision. And that gets heard by what is called the Benefits Review Committee. That's a committee of three people that will hear the client's case, and on the other side, the investigator that did the investigation for the ministry will present their case. The panel is made up of two staff from the MSD and one layperson who comes out of the community. Well, that's the first kind of tilting of the power balance, in that two members of the panel, so our ministry staff, and in some cases one of those is actually an investigator themselves. It is very difficult to feel that that is an independent panel.
For a lot of beneficiaries, is there common difficulties they face in actually accessing these appeals?
The difficulty is that the panel is stacked against the beneficiary. Now, I need to say here that this is a legal requirement. This is not the ministry that's made this up. This is where you get a systemic bias against beneficiaries. Where it actually starts is that in the Social Security Act, there's only one section that talks about a review, and that actually specifies that two of the three panel members have to be from the ministry. If you compare that to ACC, it's actually 180 degrees the opposite. There, the legal specification is that the reviewer should not have any dealings with ACC, should be independent, and there's it's about eight sections that describe the powers of the reviewer. So here, that's where it starts. There's a bias against beneficiaries.
I want to pick up on the idea here that the way that ACC is set up is the complete opposite to what we're talking about here. They're both organisations which are designed to provide money to people in a time when they cannot provide for themselves or their families. What's the government's reasoning for separating these two and having them run differently? It seems that on the beneficiary side compared to ACC, there's a lot more suspicion and there's a lot more doubt over why the money has been given out. Is this a justified suspicion, or the people that you're seeing, are they similar to those people in the situation of ACC?
The people that we see come to us with, often when they're investigated or when they have been investigated and they see they have applied for the review. What I see is that the investigation of the ministry is patchy. That the evidence that they use against the beneficiary is often, there's gaps in there. The credibility of some of the witnesses isn't there. For example, they'll use an ex-partner as a witness against the new partner, which seems fairly obvious that that is not going to be a credible source of information. The evidence that they use are records that often the beneficiary never had any control over, like the emergency department might fill out a form on a computer where the phone number of the father of the children ends up in a section that says next of kin or partner. Now, the beneficiary never had any control over entering the finer details saying, yes, he's the father of the children, but he's not living with me. So I think that overall the quality of the investigations of the ministry are quite poor and quite uneven. Once you get a chance to counter that, you can see that there's gaps in there. The quality of the interviews is often, there's a lot of leading questions, there's a lot of repeated questions to witnesses till they give the right answer. It's unsatisfactory. I think it's unsatisfactory the way, in a legal sense,
If we were seeing this run in a similar organisation, if we were seeing ACC run like this, do you think there would be more public outcry?
Totally. I think so. And I think that ACC has become so good. Or lots of people have got issues with ACC, but the process and the fairness of the process has, over time, is really because of the litigation by claimants, by ACC claimants, has adjusted itself. And ACC now has a system where that is, in terms of natural justice and fairness, is a good system. I think that there is underlying acceptance in that it is okay to badmouth beneficiaries, whereas I look upon it as quite different. I look upon it saying the ministry staff are public servants. In the tax department, internal affairs, they're all public servants, and they have to be polite, they have to give a service, they have to be courteous. That is just part of being a public servant. And the ministry staff should behave just as if they were in internal affairs. The tax department, there's money launderers. The tax department doesn't look at everybody coming to the desk as if they're a money launderer, or, you know, but with really a bad faith. You know, there's this feeling of bad faith of beneficiaries are here to rip off the system.
Do you think that that's a justified idea? Or, I mean, the people that are coming to you seeking legal advocacy and help, wanting to appeal these decisions, do you have to turn many away and say that, sorry, this isn't justified, you don't deserve this? Or the people that are coming to you generally need help and you're able to provide that?
Most people that I see that come here for help because they're investigated, I am happy to go to review and argue their case and feel that I have a significant number of things to say to the ministry where I think they got it wrong. So I'm, in most cases, I feel that there is an argument that the ministry simply has based the decision on assumptions or random or slightly random evidence, so that really that their case is not that strong. So mostly we go there and we feel that there is a good case to be argued.
People that want to appeal a decision or an investigation seem often to find it challenging just to navigate the correct path or the correct course to achieve the outcome they want. As I understand it, only 25% of people appealing an investigation actually appear in person. What are the reasons that people find it so difficult to navigate the system?
Well, for a start off, you're asking a beneficiary that is unhappy with the department to appear in front of the department. So that's intimidating. So people that are really upset with the decision will apply for a review, and come the review hearing, which might be a month or two or three, the week before they freak out, and that the stress of appearing in a legal type forum shouldn't be underestimated. It's very stressful. You've got to be very organized, and the people that are successful are usually the people that are extremely organized, that understand evidence. So I think that the whole system needs to be put outside the ministry, so that somebody who wants to review the ministry decision is in another forum where they appear and the ministry appears as two equal parties, just the two parties in the hearing, so that the beneficiary can bring their case, the ministry can bring their case, then the reviewer will simply take that away and make a decision on the facts. Because the beneficiary also, in most cases, the beneficiary has to go on with the minister. They're still on a benefit. So it's not as if they can appear and then walk away, win or lose. It's a situation where there's an ongoing relationship, which has, it's another overlay in the dynamic of how hard it is to ask and to object to a decision from the ministry. It really, there really is a necessity to get a proper independent review system. And there's examples already there. There's simply no reason why the challenges to the ministry's decision cannot be treated the same as as ACC, but that is, it is because of the law. It needs a law change. So we need to knock on the door of the minister and say, you need to change this.
Trust BFM? Sure can.
That was producer Connor speaking with Simonette Boulet of Community Law Canterbury about the issue of independence in beneficiary investigation and appeal methods.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.